Chapter 6. Book of Acts, chapter 6. As always, it's an honor to be able to share the Word of God with you. All I pray is to be a vessel. Acts chapter 6, we're going to start reading at verse number 8. It says, "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of them of Sicilia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." If we can now move one chapter over to chapter 7. If you don't know the story, you can go ahead and read that chapter as Stephen began to explain to them who Jesus was. But I want to focus now all the way down to verse number 54. After Stephen spoke the truth to them, verse 54 says, "When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens open, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep." Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for your hand that is upon us, God. We thank you, Lord, for your words as they minister to us, O Lord, as they speak to our hearts tonight, God. I ask, Lord, that you would anoint my mind and my thoughts, God. Give me clarity, O Lord. Give me focus, O Lord. Use me, Lord, to be that vessel. God, minister in a mighty way tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. In Flanders Fields, the poppies blow between the crosses, row on row, that mark our place, and in the sky the larks still bravely singing fly, scarce heard amid the guns below. We are the dead short days ago. We lived, felt dawn, saw sunset glow, loved and were loved, and now we lie in Flanders Fields. Take up our quarrel with the foe. To you, from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. If you break faith with us who die, we shall not sleep though poppies grow in Flanders Fields. Today, this day is a memorial. A day to remember those who fought in wars and gave their lives for our freedom. Now, normally I'm not one so much to preach a message just because it's a certain day or a certain season, but I do my best to seek what God wants, and for today I believe that this is what God wants for the church. As this day was approaching and as I was praying for insight for a message for tonight, and God just kept laying on my heart Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day. Remembrance Day. And I will, to be honest, and maybe to my shame, admit that the poem Flanders Fields, which is read every Remembrance Day, never really spoke to me before. I've heard it countless times, but I've, quite honestly, I've probably never really listened to what it had to say. And as I was preparing for this, and I kept the title, the Flanders Fields, just kept popping in my mind, just kept coming. And even though I had never really paid attention to the words before, it just was always there, and it just kept popping back and coming back to me and coming back to me. And so I went on to my iPad, and I looked it up, and I read it through. And to this year, it did speak to me. And I started to consider the time in which the poem was written, and I considered the fact that it was written during World War I, and now I will confess that I am not a history buff. History never really interested me in school. So when it came time to study about World War I, World War II, any of the past events of history, I never really paid that much attention, but I know the gist of what was going on, and I know that World War I did not take place on Canadian soil, and so it started to intrigue me as to why did so many Canadians go and give their lives. And as I looked up, I realized I should have known this, but I looked and read, well, we were still a British colony at that point in time, so when Great Britain went to war, so did Canada. But I was also intrigued as I began to read and look at different articles, and I realized that Canadians were not pressed into service. At the beginning of the war, Canadians were lining up to go join the services. They were looking for the intrigue. They were looking for the fact that they could travel. They were looking for the fact that they could join in and feel like they were a part of something. They wanted to stand up for something that was right. I looked and I saw that the war was started by the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand of Austria on June 28, 1914. And I began to read through the progression of the beginning of the war and how Austria was waiting for Germany's backing before they would start doing anything. And then they realized that there was, Russia was going to be involved. And as soon as Germany said, yes, we will back you, the war began. As I get older, I guess history gets a little more interesting, because as I was going through, I did find it very interesting. But there was patriotism involved. Canadians who believed in their country. Canadians who believed in what this country stood for. Canadians who believed that it should not be taken away, and they didn't like the way the German war machine was coming into power and what they were trying to do. And they wanted to stand up against it. You see, these people who signed up for service, who they had originally came from Canada, from all over the world, to start a new life. Many came to this country with nothing, but with a desire to start anew. A desire to leave something behind and go someplace new where they could start again. They were leaving something, but they came to a place that they believed in. More and more, and they came to assist in building a country better than what they left. They had a desire to protect what it was that they now had. And that's why this day is so important. Because what they stood to protect, what they joined arms to try to save and protect, is what we have today. The freedoms that we have to come into a building of worship that we currently have today was saved by those men that gave their lives. I'd like to speak tonight on this topic. A time to remember. You see, today is just the formal day that we have. That formal day to remember those who had a desire to protect the country that we call Canada. a desire to protect the freedoms that we have enjoyed up until now. But I do not wish to speak to you tonight. I'm not intending to give you a history lesson. I'm not the teacher here. That's more Brother Mike's job. Tonight, I would like to not only remember the soldiers that sacrificed their lives in the wars, but tonight I would like to instill into you a desire to remember all of those that have gone before us to give us this new life. This new life that we have as Christians. And I don't mean this in any disrespect to the soldiers. I don't mean this in any disrespect to those that gave their lives. That is not my intention at all, because I do respect the soldiers that gave their lives. I respect every one of them that are in the services that even today are going out and desiring to protect our country. I'm of the mind, not of the democratic mind that says to defund the police, but I'm in mind of standing behind the police and standing behind those that want to protect our freedoms. I have nothing but utmost respect for those that will protect this country that we live in, the freedoms that we share. And I'm not looking forward to the day when we begin to see those erode and see those go away, which is why I would like us to stand tonight to come to the place where we remember those that also gave their lives for this new life that we share. Because there are pioneers that have gone before us in the past. There's pioneers that gave their lives, that gave their all for something that they believed in, for something that they knew was better than what they had before. And when I look back at my life and I can relate to those that have left other countries, I can relate to those that might have left Austria or Germany or Poland or England or any of those other countries over there back in the day when they made their way to Canada because they saw something that they could believe in. They saw something that was going to be better than what they had before. And I can look back into my past life and I can see where I was back then, and I knew that there was something better that was waiting for me on the other side. There was something better that God had in store for my life. And it's something that I believe in, and it's something that I would like to see protected. Even though I know when we read the Bible that we're going to do it's everything that we can do to try to protect what we have, and it's going to fail. The best part is that we know where we're going in the end, if we endure until the end. This life, living for Christ. There were men and women who gave their lives, gave their all to spread the word of God, who were persecuted simply because of their faith and devotion to Jesus Christ. What they believed in, what they stood for, and were persecuted for it. It's important for us to not just take one day per year to remember those who stood for what is right and true, but to remember them every day. And I mean that for the soldiers as well as for our heroes of faith. To remember those, we remember those who were persecuted for their faith, and some of their names it's easy to remember. We hear about Paul being preached about all the time. We hear about Peter and Philip and Matthew and Luke. We hear them all the time, their names, who they were and what they did before coming to God. We hear their names through different services preaching. But that is merely a handful of men and women that gave their life, that gave their all for this gospel that we stand upon today. There are lives that were given willingly rather than turn their back on God. You see, Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 and verse 23, he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. For what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?" All through history, there's men and women who stood up for God, stood up for what was right. And there are those that would come and try to persecute them, try to destroy them. But rather than trying to save their life, they laid it down for the sake of the gospel. We've heard recently about Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego. We all know about Daniel, when they stood for what they believed in, when they stood for what was right, when their lives became a testimony, just like the soldiers that protected our lands. Names that are written on the epitaphs of those who sacrificed their life for our freedom. Names written upon history for those who sacrificed their lives for this gospel. You see, there were only 120 in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. And the Bible tells us that 3,000 more souls were added to that church later that day. These were men and the women that initiated the first church, that endured persecution not only from the world, but from the traditional Jewish community, from their friends and their families. Imagine living as a Jew back in that day. Peter, John, Andrew, Philip, Bartholomew, they were all Jews. They were all the ones chosen. Imagine the 3,000 that were there on that day I'm guessing there's probably more than 3,000, but 3,000 of them heard the word gladly and were added to the church. I'm guessing that there was many more than 3,000 there on that day, but as they began to have their hearts pricked by the words that Peter said, as they all began to wonder what it was that they were doing, and they began to realize who Jesus Christ was, and as they all began to offer their lives, and they all began to turn their lives over to Jesus Christ, how many of those was it a husband of a family that walked away from their family so that he could give his life to Jesus Christ? How many wives in that group of people walked away from their husbands and from their families? How many children walked away from their homes on that day because they believed in something? And they wanted to stand for something. And even though the rest of their family may not have wanted to join them, they were pricked in their heart and God spoke to them and God drew them. Right. Just like those soldiers that signed up for World War I, there was something about it that just drew them into the battle. There was something about it that drew them into the fight because they knew that what they were doing was right. They knew what they were doing was important. They knew what they were doing meant something. And every day we might come and we might live for God, and we may not do anything great and wonderful. We may not do great accolades for God on any given day, but if we share the gospel with one person, that one thing might be something great and wonderful to that person. Right. It might make a difference in that person's life. It might change their life forever. That is something worth doing. That is worth something protecting. That is worth standing up for and believing in. I don't know the names of any of those 3,000 people on that day. The Bible doesn't go into any detail and doesn't tell us about Sally or Jamie or their children or their husbands or their wives. We don't know their names. We don't know who they are. But they were all important nonetheless. They were the ones in the first early church. They were the first ones to go out and pioneer and start reaching and start doing and start working for the things of God as Jesus instructed them to do. We need to remember these individuals because they carried the torch. They carried that light that came to you and I. Just like the soldiers that fought for our freedom, the freedom that we enjoy today in our country, these soldiers of the cross fought so that the truth of God's word could move forward, so the truth of God's word could be spread to the world around them. So the truth of God's word could one day reach us today. Just like the freedom that was won in World War I and World War II when those soldiers went out to battle. Just like the freedoms that they secured for us today. Those soldiers of the cross went out and they spread the gospel so that we could one day receive it. So that we could enjoy it today. That relationship with Jesus Christ. Those soldiers fought to maintain holiness and righteousness. They fought even though the world was growing darker. They would keep the light burning through separation from the world. They knew that they needed to be separated from the rest of the world around them. They needed to be different from the world in order to reach the souls around them. And our world today is desiring to take away that freedom. Our world today is desiring to have the church's light grow dim as the world gets darker and darker. And it's up to us now today to take up that torch. It's up to us today now to keep that light burning. It's up to us now today to become one of those heroes of the faith. The passage from Founders Fields that spoke to me the most was where it says, take up our quarrel with the foe. To you from failing hands we throw. The torch be yours to hold it high. Those soldiers had that torch. Those soldiers that fought for our freedom were carrying the torch of freedom. They were carrying the torch of liberty. They were carrying the torch of democracy. They were carrying that torch that we enjoy now today. And it's up to us now to continue to keep carrying that torch. And as we look at the news and as we see the things that are going on in the world around us, and we see our liberties and our freedoms going away, it's not a, we need to not just bow down and allow them to take away our freedoms. We need to stand up for what those soldiers gained for us back in that day. And as the world grows darker, and as those even our church world sometimes seems like the light is going out and the light is growing dimmer, it's up to us to say, no, we're going to stand for what's right. We're going to stand for what the Word of God says. We're going to stand up and believe what the words that are written in this book and hold on to them and allow our light to shine and allow that torch to be held up high so that we are different and we are separated from the world around us. And if that means that we're separated from the rest of the church world too, that's okay as long as it adheres to this. We don't want to become more like the world to draw them in. We don't want to make ourselves look like them to bring them in. We need to be separated from the world. We need to be different from the world. We need to hold on to the landmarks that were set before from those pioneers of faith that went out before us and went out and reached into our communities and went out and did works in our cities and in our lives. I'm sure that none of us would be in this place today if the church was like the world when we came in. Brother Wilson's words, testifying about his brother coming back. And he was different. He was changed. Not the same as he was before. Enough that Brother Wilson got down on his knees and said, God, if you are real, I need to know. If his brother would have come back in, dressed the same, acting the same, doing the same things, what would have drawn Brother Wilson into the church? What would have made a difference in his life? And our church world wants to take and take away these landmarks, and wants to take these things away and say, oh no, we need to be like the world to reach the world. No, we don't. We need to be separated from the world. We need to be different from the world. We need to have something that offers the world hope and allows that light to shine as we hold that torch that the pioneers passed on to us. We need to hold it high and realize that it's that light that shines that's going to draw the people in. It's that difference in us that's going to draw people to God. If we act like the world, look like the world, talk like the world, there's nothing that's going to draw them to God, because God is not of this world. God is different than this world. And we need to be like Christ, Christians, molded by him, shaped by him, made by him. John 8:12 says, then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You are the light of the world. Oh, sorry, Matthew 5:14 says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. If we get to the point in living for God that we begin to forget what those that have gone before us have accomplished, the battles that they fought, the persecution that they endured, if we start changing back to what the world is expecting us to be, what the world wants us to be, and we start taking down the landmarks to look like them and act like them, to thinking that it's going to draw people in, to me it would be the same thing as saying, the soldiers that fought in World War I, forget about them. Let's give up our democracy. Let's give up our freedoms. Let's just roll over and let them have their way. It's saying, you guys fought for nothing. You gave your lives for nothing. It was worthless that you did what you did. You should have just stayed on our own soil, and you should have just let them run us over at that point in time. And us as Christians, we should be standing up saying, no, you're not going to take away the landmarks. You're not going to destroy what the pioneers fought for. You're not going to destroy what the early disciples, the church that they built and what they made, and the persecution that they faced, and the lives that were given so that we could have this gospel today. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. He doesn't alter his course. He doesn't expect different from us now than what he did back then. And he's not going to expect any different from us the day before he returns than he does today. The same every day. Each one that has gone before, even in this city alone, Sister Peaver and Brother Peaver coming to this city, reaching out. The Wilsons coming down, doing a work here. Pastor and Sister Z, the work and the effort that they put in for this church should not be for nothing. But we need to take that torch, and we need to hold on to that torch, and we need to raise that torch and allow that light to shine in this city. Through each one of us, we need to allow that light to shine. We need to shine it out to everyone that we come into contact with. We need to shine that light to the stores around us. We need to shine that light in the restaurants and everywhere that we go, in our workplace and in our schools and amongst our peers. We need to allow that light to shine. Not say, I'm going to be like you, but I want to be different than you. I want to show you a better way. It's what drew each and every one of us into the church. It's what that change in our lives that we were all searching for and that we were seeking for. But if we start to forget what was given, and we forget the things that went on, the lives that were lost. The early church faced a great persecution. They were stoned. They were beaten. They were crucified. We read the account of Stephen as all he was doing is preaching in Jesus' name. And they went out and they found false witnesses. The Bible tells us that's going to happen to us again. And it's already begun. Report your neighbor for having too many people in their house. Report your neighbors for not social distancing. Let's get that primer going. Let's get these people revved up. Let's get these people on what the plan is here. Next thing it's going to be, have you ever seen your neighbors with a Bible? Where do they go on Sundays? You ever ask them? I think they go to church. Oh, that's interesting. You know what church they go to? Hopefully your neighbors know what church you go to. May not be a good thing down the road, but they're getting people on that program. It's easy to turn them in. It's easy to turn your back on them. But now isn't the time to shy away. Now isn't the time for us to lose our faith. Now is the time for us to stand up in what we believe. Now is the time to exercise our faith. Now is the time that we need to rely on those that have gone before us. We need to remember those that went before. We need to remember what they went through and what they had to endure. And we have to remember that God was with them and that God is going to be with us through it all. We have to remember Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they come knocking on our door saying, is there a Christian that lives in this house? And we need to be ready to be able to stand up and say, you're darn right there's a Christian that lives in this house, and I'm proud of it. I'm a blood-bought, blood-washed believer in the name of Jesus Christ. God filled me with the Holy Ghost, and you can do whatever you want to me, and I'm gonna endure it because he's going to take me home, or he's going to deliver me out of your hands. Whoever shall lose their lives for my sake shall gain it, Jesus said. And if we forget those that have gone before, it'll be easy when they come knocking on your door. Is there a Christian in this house? No, I don't think so. Quick, hide the Bibles. All right, we don't bring them out. We need to stand upon our faith. And we need to believe. I began to, as I was studying for this, today I was sitting and I was reading Fox's Book of Martyrs. Because those are the individuals from the early church that were persecuted. They were stoned. They lost their heads. They were crucified. They were burned at the stake. All manner of deaths. None of them pleasant. Multiple accounts of those that in their time of death, as they were taking their life, experienced no pain. God was with them through it all. The account that we read of Stephen says in the verse 58 of chapter 7 of the book of Acts, says, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul, and they stoned Stephen. Now I've had people throw rocks at me. It doesn't feel very good. That's usually one rock. And it hurts. Now imagine Stephen with many men standing there, all throwing rocks. It says, and he called upon God, saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. Does that sound like that's coming from a man who is being pummeled, feeling the pain of hundreds of stones being thrown at him? That tells me that God was there with him. That he knew that through every one of those stones hitting his body, that he wasn't feeling the pain. That he felt the presence of God. That he felt the touch of God upon his life. The one story, and I was looking for it today, and I couldn't find the exact story in the Fox's Book of Martyrs. I wanted to find what his name was, but I remember the story vividly in my mind from time before when I was reading the book about a man who was being burned at the stake. And they had him on top of the pyre, and they had him tied to this pole. And as they lit the fire below him, as the fire came up and engulfed his body, and they could see the skin on his body burning and blistering, and they said that he reached up. Before he died. The men standing in the crowd that were friends of his testified later that he said, this is the signal I'm going to give you if God takes the pain of death away. Those are the things, the stories that we need to hang on to. We need to remember those stories. So when the day comes, when they come knocking on our door, that we can go, oh, I know God's with me. I know God will help me to endure this. I know God will make a way through this. That no matter what the government, no matter what those around us try to do to us in the days coming, we can have our faith in God. We can have that faith that will move mountains. We can have that faith that we can believe in. We can have that faith that is unwavering, that is unshakable, that is immoving. Because we have the Holy Ghost on the inside. We have that liberty on the inside that from the pioneers that went before us, that allowed that gospel to come to North America, that allowed that gospel to come into British Columbia, that allowed that gospel to come to the cities in which we're at, so that it would reach us and it would touch us and it would move in us. And we could receive that Holy Ghost power on the inside. And we could offer our lives to Jesus Christ. And we could live our lives for him, knowing that he goes before us, knowing that he walks with us, knowing that he's with us every step of the way. We can have faith in the Word of God that tells us we can see plainly what's happening in our world around us today because it's already written in the Word of God. And we can be ready and we can be trusting in God and we can know that he's going to be with us. Like I mentioned on Sunday morning, I was confused at the election. I was sure that I was sure that Donald Trump was going to win just because he was going to be the one to protect Israel. Well, God doesn't know what he's doing because it didn't work. It didn't work according to my plan. No, God has a plan. We just don't know what it is. We don't see it, but we will. God will make his plan very clear. God will make his plan very evident in the coming days as to what he's doing. And we need to be ready. And we need to be watching. And we need to be prepared. But most of all, we need to remember. We need to remember those that who God healed. We need to remember those whose lives God touched. We need to remember those whose lives God has affected. And know that he did it then and he can do it again. What he did for those in the past, he can do it again. Yes. Brother Beer, we prayed for you tonight. I remember praying for Brother Mike Zotzman. And I know we all, most of us in here tonight, were there and we all saw what God did in him. The miraculous healing that God gave to him. Oh, it was just for Brother Mike Zotzman. No, it wasn't. It was for all that. Everyone that came to God, everyone that came to Jesus saying, I need a healing. Jesus, I need you to touch my body. I need something from you. The woman with the issue of blood didn't even talk to Jesus. But he still said the same thing to her. Thy faith has made thee whole. Your faith has given you your healing. It's your faith. It's your faith. It's your faith. It's the faith, it's our faith that moves mountains. It's our faith that we need to have in the coming days. It's our faith that we're going to need to rely on when we have nothing else around us to rely on. The ones who went and laid the landmarks, the ones who went before us to set up the churches that we have now, the ones who went before us living for God amongst this world that even in the later days, late 20th century, I'm sure faced persecution when they would go into a city. How many times have we heard our oneness preachers when they try to, Brother Chad was telling us the other day about trying to sign up for the ministerial association in Hunter Mile. Are you saying you don't believe in the Trinity? Exactly what I'm saying. Brother Chad is the first one I've heard of, though, that they didn't just kick him out. Sounds like they're even going to change what they've got written on their articles of faith or whatever it is that has to be signed so it accommodates to let him in. God's moving in mysterious ways. But I know even Brother Clethro had chatting with him. He had joined up, and I don't know whether he had to sign anything or anything else, and he went for a little while until they finally realized what he believed. And suddenly he was no longer welcome. Persecution. But that persecution is nothing like what we're going to face. But it's hard when you're in a crowd and you're different. Those soldiers going into a foreign country. I was reading about the deplorable conditions in the bunkers. And it was a war. World War I was a war fought mostly in the trenches. And the conditions that they faced. And how many of the battles the tide was turned because of the weather. Largely because we were used to the weather. Going into those conditions, willingly laying down their lives, going and standing for what they believed in. We need to remember them. Soldiers for our freedom. The soldiers of faith that forged the way for the word of God that we enjoy today. It's not a time to forget. It's not a time to push things into the past. But it's a time to keep those landmarks. It's a time to keep in our memory those that went before us. Not all of the soldiers of faith have been martyrs, giving their lives through persecution, as we read of Stephen in the book of Acts. But many have given their lives just the same. Of late, we've heard of many Pentecostal ministers who have gone on to their reward because of this nasty pandemic. COVID-19 taking many of them home. Many of those lives have given everything that they are, that they were, to the work of God. Men like Eli Hernandez and Irvin Baxter and many, many others that have gone on now. They didn't die from their persecution, but they still gave their lives. How many of the big name Pentecostal preachers have we heard and they've testified of people wanting what they have, wanting the ministry that they have? They said, you could have my ministry if you go through what I've gone through. If you endured what I've endured, you could have this ministry. Because they didn't give up when the going got tough. They didn't give up when things weren't going right. They didn't give up when being a minister and being a preacher and being a pastor was something that wasn't just all roses. Our pastor sitting behind me tonight hasn't given up on this church. With the things that this church has gone through, with what this church has endured, he still stayed in the fight. He's still fighting. He's still pushing. He's still trying to see this church make it to the end. He's given his life to the gospel. A soldier in God's army, giving his life day after day after day. We can't forget those that give their lives for what we have. As we stand together tonight, I know that this isn't a crying at the altar. Might be a repentance service, depending on where you're at. But nonetheless, I felt it was important that we don't forget. As I was studying for this, I did feel some shame in the fact of how little I actually knew about the wars and the soldiers that gave their lives. Some here tonight have family members that lost their lives. I know for sure that the Wilsons do. I don't even know any family members in my family that had to go to war. And I feel fortunate for that. But I also don't want to forget those that did. They left a torch for those behind to pick up. The soldiers of the faith have left a torch for those left behind to pick up. So church, are we going to pick up that torch? Are we going to keep that torch burning? Are we going to keep moving forward, keeping our faith in God, maintaining the liberty that we have, the freedoms that we have, pushing the gospel forward to those that are around us, sharing the word to those who need it? This is a big city. There's lots of people here that need the word of God. Our light needs to shine bright. We can't hide it under a bushel. We can't look like the world. We can't act like the world. We can't talk like the world. We need to be different. We need to allow our light to shine. Each one of us can reach different people, myself included. The days that we have left, it's time for us to start reaching. It's time for us to be soldiers of faith, fighting in the trenches, pushing the gospel forward. Let's just take a moment and talk to God. I hope everybody today found found a moment, took that moment of silence, and remembered those that this day honors. Lord, we thank you, Jesus.
Yes, Lord.
For your word, God. We thank you, Lord, for those that you chose, God. We thank you, Lord, for the 12 that you walked with, that you taught, that you showed the way. We thank you, God, for the Holy Ghost that you put inside.